Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And they would call that the spirit of life rising up in you. Thank you. You can be seated. Bless you. I appreciate you. Thank you, Melvin. You can be seated. And thank this wonderful group of people, would you? They're just getting warmed up for tonight.
Britton said, "Nate, I'm still recovering from that guitar solo." That's my man right there. He told me to shred.
He shred.
I did my best.
He shredded today. I'm telling you. I thought this was supposed to be some sweet Christmas morning.
Next week.
That won't be either. It won't be. Oh, thank God. Sam, would you pull the door closed while those guys are all congregating just for the sake of their peace? For several years, if you're new to our church or if you're a guest today, for several years, it has been a great fire burning in me about racial equality. I don't know exactly why, but I do know that white people cannot speak for black people. I can't. I don't know it. But I know I have a responsibility as a pastor to work to heal hundreds of years of abuse. I sometimes think about this small church over here in the corner of St. Paul, and I think it doesn't have much influence. But what influence I do have. Does that make sense? What I can do, I will do. And as you look around, you might see that if you're a guest today, there are several people here who have been a part of this church and joined this church, even though I'm white. And so something good's going on. We got a long way to go, but I thank God because it's been in my spirit. It's been in my heart. And prejudice drives me crazy, and I get mad about it. And I'm gripping this pulpit till my hands are sweating right now. Wish you'd make me more comfortable by saying amen. Just help me out a minute. I need a few more white amens. And then I have a real strong feeling in my heart about what's happening in our nation right now about sexual assault. I'm angry at the condition of our government, and I'm frustrated with the media and the big corporations and companies and small with the sexual harassment issues that are before us. Because men can't speak for women. We don't have a clue. My wife went to the hospital Wednesday evening and she said, "I don't want to park in the parking garage by myself." So my daughter Tiffany took her. And the next morning, Thursday morning, I picked her up. She didn't want to be in the parking garage by herself. That might cross my mind, but I don't normally worry about that. I got enough redneck in me. Come on, black people, help me. I got enough redneck in me. Look a man in the eye and say, "You want some of this? Come on, right here in this parking garage." You know what I'm saying? There's a different feeling on me. We don't have that sense. So we can't, I can't speak for women. But now listen to me. If that oppression is generational and people never know freedom, if this is decades old, it's hard to believe that you have value. It's hard to be convinced when everyone and everything has devalued you. It's hard for a woman to believe that she is empowered and that she is loved and that she's precious and important when she has been an object. It's hard. There's got to be a rising up of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person of color when prejudice has been so dominant for them to feel, for you to feel like, I really am important here. I'm not second class. Help me. It's hard to believe that. If everything in your life and everything in your parents' life and your grandparents' life, if for years that's the way it's been. And the hardest thing of all is when people quote scripture to prove their point. And I'm mad about it. Merry Christmas. I've come to tell you why he came. I've come to tell you why he came. I'm telling you, it says God so loved the world. I'm going to get radical. Buckle your seatbelt. Jesus isn't the reason for the season. You are. He didn't come for himself. He came for you. He came to give you a sense of dignity and respect, a sense of value, and everything in your world has turned against it. But this is a Jesus moment. Come on now. Think about what I just said. We think Jesus is the reason for the season because we are consumed with gifts and the materialism. But the truth of the matter is, he came to recover you, to restore you, to give you a sense of value. And I want to say something to people of color, though I cannot relate. There are abuses, molestations, brokenness, things that happen to everybody that should cause all of us to love one another. And I told, we had a meal the other night with some of the security and the usher team, and I recognized that we have actually made progress in this assembly and people with me. There are people of color that will stand up now and say, he's not prejudiced. He's not against. He's for. He's helping. I got people that have my back. I got African-American men that have my back. Because I've been here just long enough for people to understand. And I'm telling you that the issue is this brokenness, a sense of being less than, of being cursed, of not being important. This whole idea of harassment is, I can't relate. I cannot relate to the fear that must be in many of you women who have suffered harassment. And I'd like to be your fist. I'd like to be your voice. But before I can, I have to tell you that if you approach this from bitterness and brokenness, you can make matters worse. There can be a whiplash to your reasoning. And I say to you then, a white man has to stand up for the black man, and a white man has to stand up for women. Lest there be a backlash and people say, ah, you're just whining. Get over it. Somebody help me. I'm plowing a deep field right now, and I'm going somewhere. And I am telling you that healing comes from believing the Word of God. Healing in your spirit. Healing and strength enough to stand in the face of the winds of adversity that continue to blow. We're not over it. We're just starting this thing with women. My God. Listen to me. You only have so long to live. It's short no matter how you look at it. Come on, you only have so long. How many of you right now, if I let you, could feel old? How many of you realize time flies? I was calculating and thinking, you know, I'm 62. I feel so young. I look in the mirror and I look older than I think I am. I don't look nearly as good as I feel. I feel like I'm in shape, and then I look and they go, you're not in shape. Life is short. Ray, it's short. And we look back, and how quickly you can go back 10 years or 20 years. It's so fast. It's unbelievable. And I don't have time to live my life bitter, hurt, down, believing everything everybody told me. And so, we often judge ourselves and others by what they can do. I'm identified. Did you hear Nate say, I can? Yes, I can. I didn't know they were going to do that song today, but this is absolutely the truth. He said, I can play this guitar. I don't know if you heard him. But the guitar might have been a little too loud for you to hear him, but he looked at me and said, I can play this guitar. And so we often identify ourselves by what we can do, what I can do, what you can do, what you do. And so if you do something well, you feel good. And if things fail and you fail at a thing, you feel bad. Because it's what you do, what you do. My wife's a good cook. Meals have more than one thing. It's not a bologna sandwich. I'm just telling you. But there was a time when she could not. And one of the times she made what we thought was some Asian attempt. And you've heard of teriyaki sauce? Well, we called it teriyaki. Identify people that can do a thing. Andy can cut hair. Tommy can shoot a deer with a bow. I can fish. What I do. The problem with that is you only feel good when you're successful. If you're identified by what you do, because if you do something wrong or you don't quite come up to, then you're sad. And your life is like a graph, you know, you're up and down because it's what you do. How about the idea of what people say about you? You may act like you don't care, but you care about what people say, what people think of you. I can have a bunch of you come and say, Pastor, that was wonderful. Man, you helped me. And I can have one person say, that doesn't make any sense. And I only remember the one. Right? Somebody looks funny at me. Sometimes I preach and I get a glazed look in my eye. You want to know why? Because I can't look at you. I can't look you in the eye. Looks to me like you're sleeping or you don't give a hoot. Looks like I'm boring you to death, and I can't look at that. Because then I start thinking I must be boring and this doesn't matter. Right? Am I right? Because it's what people think of you matters. If somebody compliments you, oh, it feels great. But if somebody sets the... How many have ever been called a name? Ever been put down? Man, it wrecks your spirit, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, because you believe what people say about us. How about what we have? We're identified by what we have. We try to get more stuff so that we look more successful to people, and we're judged by what we have. Right? What you've got, what you wear. Does it matter to you that people think, oh, you look nice today? You got something on nice. How many of you ever thought, I got to get rid of this old car before it falls apart right out from under me? Come on, let me see your hands. I've done it. I did it. I bought a car one time from a guy that he said, there's a hole in the floor on the driver's side. You got to have a rubber mat to keep the rain from coming up inside. I said, I'll take it. That's true. I bought one with a hole in the floor. I knew it when I bought it. And sure enough, it rained up. So what I do, my success feels good, but when I fail, I feel bad. What people say about me, say something negative about me, talk about me behind their back. You find out somebody said something about you and just hurts you, doesn't it? Come on, tell me it hurts. I don't care how old you are, how successful you are. It just seems to matter what people say and what you have. And you're happy as long as you got it. But if something is taken from you, I have friends. But if I lose a friend, I feel bad is what I had, right? I had something nice. Anybody ever grieve over you had some money, but now you don't? Come on. When you had it, you felt good. When you had it, you felt good. And now that you don't have it, you're going, oh, man, what is life? This is terrible. Because you lost something. Some property, something that you owned. And I've come to tell you that in Christ, there is no black or white. There is no bond or free. There is no male or female. We are all beloved by God. And I want to heal you. And I want to heal racial disparity. And I want to talk to women and say, you are beloved of God. God, help me to plant seeds today that grow up great big in your life and change the way you live so you're not up when somebody's nice and when you think right or when somebody says something good about you and down when somebody, but you say, I don't believe that. I don't believe all that. Jesus said, don't believe that. Don't put up with that. Don't be. I can't remember. I'm so far off my thing, you guys. Matthew, I think, 4. Jesus, help me, Jesus. I think this is a monumental day. It is. Matthew 4, please. I don't know what verse I gave you. Yeah, let's start there. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. I'd like to identify you, Jesus, by what you can do. You're a bread maker. You can make bread. Let's just make you the bread maker and you'll feel good about yourself. You can do it. You can do it. And Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not try to box me in by what I can do. That's not how I'm identified. Then he took him to the holy city. Verse 5, and he put him on the highest point of the temple. You got to think about this. Downtown, not Minneapolis where you can be inside the mall, but where everybody can see you. Get on the highest point of the temple, and if you jump from here, you just think about what people will say about you. You just think of how good they'll be talking about you. Why, he gives his angels charge over you so you won't even hurt your foot. This is what people say about you. Jesus said, don't put the Lord your God to test. Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the stuff he could have, the kingdom of the world and their splendor. And he said, I'll give this to you. You can have all this. If you'll just get on your knee and worship me, you can have this. And he said, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him. Matthew chapter 4, the other gospels that tell this story, come on the heels of an event. Would you please look at Matthew chapter 3? And Steve, if you could show us this. Some of you were raised reading the King James Version. I love the way this is written in the King James, if you don't mind. This would be Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, this is right before what we just read. This is right before he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And you need to get this. Get this sequence. Understand what's happening. He went straightway up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17. And a voice from heaven, a voice from heaven. Leave it up for me. I am never the first voice. I am only a confirming voice. You have a personal relationship with God, and he speaks to you. Every one of you. The Bible said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. The Spirit of God has been poured out on you. And when I say something from this pulpit that matches what the Spirit of God says in you, somebody ought to tremble. Somebody ought to clap. Somebody ought to say, thank be to God. I felt that. I knew that. Everything in my head, everything my parents said, everything my teacher said, all the people that, everything that happened to me submits to the word that I feel in my heart. And the word from heaven was, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the last words Jesus heard before he went to the wilderness. It's not who you are. It's not what you do. It's not what people say about you, son. You're my beloved. That's who you are. Did you hear me? You're my beloved, Melvin. It's not your color. It's not your successes. It's not what you have. You are a beloved son of God. That's who you are. Come on, Cindy. You're in a trial. Your son's leaving and all this. You are a beloved daughter of God. That's who you are. That's who I am. The world says, what can you do about it? What do you got? And sometimes we look with our hands and say, I don't have anything, and we're down. No, I don't go down. I don't lose my faith. I don't lose my joy, because it's not what I have that makes me who I am. Somebody get praise in the Lord with me right now, because he is saying, you are my beloved. That's who you are. And some of you that have been real bad like me and real creepy like me and dark and gone, often gone, I know it's not because of what I do. I know it's not because of what I have. I know it's because he loves me. This is my son. I love him. I'm pleased with him. That's why I'm here today, because he says I'm his son. I wish somebody had told me when I was 12, when I was afraid of going to hell. I wish somebody would have told me when I was 15 and thinking about being a preacher. I wish somebody would have preached it to me when I was pastoring 30 years ago and said, it's not how hard you work. It's not how many people. That's why I'm saying about people of color here and women. I don't care if I'm preaching from a pulpit with 10,000 listeners or in this church. I'm doing what I can do telling you. It's not what you have. It's not what they say, and it's not what you do. He loves you because of you. Jesus came because of you. I don't want to get you crazy, but I'd just like to see how many of you feel like maybe you as parents scarred your kids, and maybe your parents scarred you. People that loved you most. People did the people who you're closest to. Let me tell you what, you got to get over me sometimes. You got to get over me. You're going to have to get healed up from church, because sometimes church can hurt you. People that love you, people that are, they can hurt you, right? And it bring you down, but he never fails. He never fails. He's working all the time to bring you up to this place where you say, show me 1 John, please. I may get done on time. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed on us that we be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knows not because it didn't know him. Beloved, that be me. I like that, Melvin. I'm going to say beloved, and you say, that be me. Beloved, that be me. Now we're sons and daughters of God. Doesn't yet know what we're going to be until he appears and we'll see it. He calls you beloved, not pastor, not preacher, not cook, not bread maker. Help me, somebody that sees age discrimination as a problem. He doesn't look at you and say, hey, grandpa. Hey, grandma. Come on now. I look back at my softball career and I think I was better than I was. Somebody help me. Because if it's all about what you can do, you sometimes get to the place where you just got trophies. It's not what you do anymore, it's what you used to do. Come on, Tommy. I used to be able to hit the ball 300 yards, but I can't do that anymore. Come on, somebody. When you hang all of your identity on what you can do and you can't do it anymore. Yeah, my grandson shoot hoops. I used to be able to beat him. Now he went, beat me 2 out of 3 last time. I got to pick a new game. Let's shoot pool or something. If I was identified by what I did, if I was identified by what people say about me. People say the meanest things that love you, don't they? Come on, help me. It's the truth and it hurts. And if you're held on to that, but let me tell you what took Jesus right through the test. Let me tell you what you should live with. Though maybe you're hearing it for the first time, by God, let this seed be planted in your spirit. Everybody said amen. Let this seed be planted. You are the beloved. You're a son and a daughter of God. You're most valuable to him. It doesn't matter what anybody else said. Hear the voice that's speaking in your spirit. Let it agree with what the preacher's saying today. On this Christmas, whatever this is, 2 weeks before or something, I'm claiming that Jesus came to let you know you are my son and I'm pleased with you. I love you. That's the voice. That's the word of God. Merry Christmas, everybody. He is your gift. He loves you and he's giving you a gift of life. Let's stand together, shall we?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.